Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Irvin Samach Tes. We are on the bottom of Samach Ches on base, two lines from the very bottom. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, and this is in reference to the incident where there was a tzduki residing in the Mavi together with Rav Gamliel's family, and he did bittul to them. He relinquished his usage rights of the Mavi, thereby allowing him to carry throughout the Mavi. And the Gemara told us that Rav Gamliel instructed his sons that they should quickly use the Mavi. At the first point of Shabbos, they should go be machzik in the Mavi, make use of it. And by doing so, they're going to acquire the usage rights of the Mavi. They're going to gain possession of the Mavi. And this will prevent the tzduki from going back on his word and reattaining possession of his part in the Mavi. So Rav Gamliel instructed him as follows. Says the Gemara, so we just learned, Hoitziu mashatem hoitzin. He told his sons, take out whatever you need to take out into the Mavi. Machnisu mashatem machnisin, bring in whatever you need, meaning make use of the Mavi. Do it quickly, at the first point of Shabbos. Why? Because you're meant to beat the tzduki to it. Do it before the tzduki, asher lo yoytzi ha-toyev ha-zev, yesh aleichem, before this toyev, this undesirable fellow, will do likewise, will be moitzi his things into the Mavi, and by doing so, he's going to regain his rights, his usage rights of the Mavi, and it's going to make it usher on you, because the bittul will become terminated. So therefore, beat him to it, make sure that you use the Mavi before he does. And Rashi points out, specifically, it needs to be done on Shabbos. So make sure to use it at the first point of Shabbos. So you're machzik the Mavi and prevent him from regaining possession of the Mavi. Says the Gemara, does that really work? L'meimer, do you mean to say, when they take out, and then afterwards he takes out, it doesn't make it asa. He can't regain his rights to the Mavi. But not, we learned in the Mishnah. A person, as if we're speaking about a typical case, a Yisrael, who didn't participate in the Erev, so now he wants to do Bittul. So he gave away his usage rights to the fellow Chatzar members here. Once he does that, he's not meant to transfer something from his house to the Chatzar. Let's say he did that. He was Nasser Rishus V'Haitzi, and he transferred something from his house to the Chatzar. B'Meshoigig, B'Memezit, Oysen. Divrei Rami. Rami holds, whether he did it B'Shoig or B'Memezit, we consider it as though he regained his rights, his usage rights of the chatzar. He took it back, and by doing so, he terminates the bittul. And now, all the members of this chatzar can no longer carry in the chatzar. So what do we see here? That even after bittul, one has the ability to regain possession of that property. Amar Rav Yosef, Eima Eina Oitzer. Okay, let's amend that Mishnah. That this fellow who took something out, he doesn't make it usher, because once he did bittul, it's theirs, he can no longer regain reattain the usage rights to this chatzar. The bittul remains in place and intact. Abaye Omar Leikasha. The answer is as follows. It depends on the circumstance. The case of Rav Gamliel is totally different than the story in that Mishnah. We're speaking about a case where the Bnei Mavi, meaning Rav Gamliel's family, were machzik in the Mavi. They acquired the Mavi. They gained possession of the Mavi. They used it before this fellow. In this case, the person who did bittul can't go ahead and take it back. It's already theirs. Kan shelo yechziku Bnei Mavi b'Mavi. In contrast to that Mishnah, which is speaking about a case where a person did bittul, but the recipients of the bittul hadn't yet been machzik in that property. They were not machzik, the Bnei Mavi were not machzik in the Mavi. In which case, he has the ability to take it back. And therefore the Mishnah says, if he did bittul and then immediately was maitzi, by doing so he regains possession and it makes it usur upon all because the bittul has been terminated. V'atanya. As we find in a braisa, we find this concept in the following braisa. So the braisa begins by discussing a halacha which is really unrelated at this point. And towards the end, we'll conclude with this concept, that if the recipients of the bittul did chazaka, that prevents the the mavatal from regaining possession. The Braisa begins as follows. Let's say a person resides in a chatzar, did not participate in the Erev. So he can do bittul. Let's say he hadn't yet done bittul. He went ahead and he was moitzi something into the chatzar. He wasn't allowed to. He was doing an iser, mechilo Shabbos, midrabanan. So what happens there? Bein b'shoigig bein b'mezid yochel avat. Whether he was moitzi b'shoigig, even if he did the iser b'mezid, he's still considered to be like a standard, typical Yisrael, and he has the ability to be mevatel, even though he was mechal Shabbos. That's the shita Rav Meir holds, that a Yisrael is still a Yisrael, and therefore, even if he doesn't personally conform with halachas of Shabbos, he was moitzi, he took something to the chatzar when he wasn't meant to, even if he did it b'mezit, he's still considered to be Yisrael, and he has the bittul option that he can do. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. B'shogi yachal levatel. If he did this b'shogi, he was mechal Shabbos, inadvertently, fine, then he's still considered to be a person who has the ability to make bittul. He still has a din of a full-fledged Yisrael. B'mezit en yachal levatel. But if he took the item out into the chatzar b'mezit knowingly, he was mechal Shabbos b'mezit. This fellow doesn't have the ability to make bittul any longer, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, bittul is only provided for a person who conforms with Hilchos Shabbos. Chachamim provided bittul as an option B, as an alternative for Erev. It's not meant as a primary option. You're meant to do Erev. But as an alternative, they provided bittul as well. So a person who conforms to Hilchos Shabbos, yeah, in that case, he's a Shemir Shabbos, and just as he has Erev, he has Bittul as well. A person doesn't conform to Hilchos Shabbos, such in this case where he's being Maitzi, he's being Eiver on Hilchos Shabbos, b'mezid, this fellow is classified, at least when it comes to these halachas, like a Nachri. You can only do Schiras from him. He doesn't have the option of Bittul. He doesn't conform to Erev, so he doesn't have that alternative as well. He can't go ahead and just use Bittul. Bittul is not meant as a primary option. So therefore, if he doesn't involve himself with Erev, he doesn't have Bittul as well. So that's the first halach. According to Rav Meir, even a Mechal Shabbos has Bittul, because he's Yisrael. According to Rav Yehuda, a Mechal Shabbos, b'mezid, does not have a Bittul option any longer. That's the first portion of the Braisa. Then the Braisa concludes with the halacha that pertains to our discussion. Misha nasan rishus ev ha'itzi, if a person actually was mevatel rishus. So now he's going to be careful not to be moitzi anything into the chatzar, because by using the chatzar, he's going to be regaining his rights. He's going to terminate that bittul. So mishu nasa mishu se behoitzi, bein b'shoigi bein b'mezid, oyser. He makes it oser upon the other members, because he retained his property. Divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'mezid oyser, b'shoigi geni oyser. If he did a b'mezid, fine. That's considered to be a person who regained his usage rights. But b'shoigeg, he did it inadvertently. He had no kavanah to do that, and therefore, he's not oyser on the other members. We discussed this on the Samaches, according to our mayor. We make a knas, just as we applied salach to mezid, we extend it to shoigeg as well. Shoigeg otu mezid. So that one doesn't lead to the next. Rav Meir said, Rav Yehuda holds, this halacha is specific to mezid, when he did it willingly and knowingly, but b'shoigeg, there's no reason to make it asr, because he had no kavan of really causing trouble here, of reattaining the usage rights to the chatzar, and therefore, in this case, we don't consider it as though the bittul has been terminated, and he doesn't make it asr upon them. Okay, that's the first portion of his halacha. Concludes the brayse, and this pertains to us. When is this halacha said that if a person uses the chatzar after bittul, that bittul becomes batal? And it's as though he reattained his usage rights, reattained possession. That's only b'shalich ziku b'nei mavi b'mavi. That's only when the b'nei mavi had not yet been machzik in the mavi. They hadn't yet used the mavi. And they didn't gain complete possession of the mavi. So then, he has the ability to take it back. Avlich ziku b'nei mavi b'mavi. But if the fellow is living in the mavi, will machzik in the mavi before he had a chance to use it? In this case, there's no harm. Bein b'shoigig, bein b'meizid, any osir. Whether he transfers something to the Mavi, b'shoigig or b'meizid, there's no concern, because once it's theirs, once they are machzik, he no longer has the ability to take it back. And indeed, this is consistent with Abaye's Teretz, that came to explain the story of Yitzhak and Leo, where they were machzik the Mavi first, and therefore that prevented the Tzuki from ever taking it back during Shabbos, because once they are machzik in the Mavi, he has no longer the ability to take it back. So even if he decides to use it, it still belongs to them for the rest of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Amamar. So getting back to that discussion, there's a Braisa that described the story with its Tzuki who lived in the Mavi, and there were two versions of the story. Rabbi Meir told us that according to Rabbi Gamliel, Bittel was activated, and therefore he instructed his sons to quickly use the Mavi to gain possession of the Mavi to Machzik, which will prevent the Tzuki from taking it back. However, Rabbi Yehuda maintained that Bittel cannot apply to a Tzuki. Tzuki doesn't conform to these halachis, doesn't have the Bittel option, which is intended strictly for a person who conforms, who follows Hilchas Erev. So he's given two options, Erev and Bittel, as an alternative. But Bittel is not meant as a primary option. And therefore, a person who doesn't follow Erev doesn't have Bittel. That's a Shita Rabbi Yehuda. So this Tzuki could not have done Bittel. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Gamliel's instruction to his sons was as follows. Go quickly use the Mavi before Shabbos comes, because once Shabbos arrives, it gets dark, you can no longer use the Mavi, because there was no Bittel done, and apparently there was no Schiris done as well. So you can only use it up until Shabbos. So the Gemara here is going back to that statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Amamar. So we learned earlier, Rabbi Yehuda, Beloshna Cheres, Rabbi Gamliel's instruction to his sons was actually employing a different type of language than Rameir's version. He said as follows, Maru, hurry up, Vasut Zerchechem B'Mavi, and use the Mavi, Ashle Techshach, forget Zak, V'yes Aleichem, and this Tzuki is going to make things usher upon you. So this is the end quote of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the more Alma Nochriu, apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Tzuki is like a guy. He doesn't have a Bittel option available. The only thing that works is Schirus. Is that the case? We seem to have a Kasha from our Mishnah, also in the beginning of the Perek, Vanan, Achela Yoitzi Tznan. But according to our version in the Mishnah, Ryuta describes the story with Rav Gamliel as follows. He told the sons, look, you can use the Mavi even on Shabbos, because apparently there was Bittel here. Use it, but up until the Tzuki uses it, Achela Yoitzi, before he is Moitzi, his things into the Mavi. Because once he uses the Mavi, what happens is he gets it back. As Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this whole concept of Chazaka, meaning even after they use it and gain possession of the Mavi, he still has the ability to take it back. But pertaining to us here, it's pretty clear that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was Bittel here. There was Bittel, which allowed everybody to carry on Shabbos itself, but only up until the point where the Tzuki uses the Mavi, because then he takes it back. So apparently, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bittel works even by Tzuki, which is inconsistent with Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, that Tzuki cannot do Bittel. Says the Gemara, Eima, Achelo Yoitzi Hayoyim. Let's amend and reinterpret the Mishnah. Rather than Achelo Yoitzi being in reference to the Tzuki, you can carry on Shabbos up until the point that the Tzuki is Moitzi, his things into the Mavi. It is referring to Friday. You can carry, you can use the Mavi up until when Friday leaves us, meaning up until Shabbos. You can't use the Mavi on Shabbos, it's off limits, because there's no Bittel here. Bittel doesn't work by its Tzuki. And it's consistent, reviewed in the Braisa. People are the same, another Teretz, like Kash. The answer is as follows. We're speaking on two different types of Tzukim. Kan b'mumar l'chal Shabbos is b'tzina. The Mishnah, which indicates that a Tzuki can do Bittel, is speaking about a Mumar, a person who is over Averis on a regular basis. So this habitual transgressor is being mechal Shabbos, it's only betzina, only privately. He does it quietly. In which case, he didn't entirely disregard the concept of Shabbos, and therefore, we regard him as a Yisrael in the context of halachas of Erev and Bittel, and he can do Bittel. In contrast to the Braisa here, that tells us that a Tzuki cannot do Bittel, which is speaking about Kan b'mumar l'chal Shabbos v'far hesye. He's a mumar to be m'chal Shabbos publicly, flagrantly, in which case he's totally disregarded Shemir Shabbos, and he cannot be allowed to do Bittel. He's disqualified from Bittel. Apparently, when it comes to Shabbos, which is meant to be a testimony to Hashem's creation of the world, the publicity aspect plays a vital role here. And therefore, if a person is merely doing it betzina, as bad as it is, but he's not totally disregarding the concept of Shabbos, and therefore, he's still allowed to do Bittel. Whereas a person who's mechal Shabbos for hesya, he's totally disregarded Shabbos, and he can no longer have the privilege of doing Bittel. So the Mishnah is speaking about one case, where even according to Abiyuda, it's Tuki, can do Bittel. The Braisa is speaking about a different case. Says the Mar, Keman Ozla Hadassanya, in accordance with whose Shita, is the following Braisa. Braisa says, Mumar, this is the habitual transgressor, V'gili Panam, Rashi says this is a Chatzif, a disrespectful fellow. Harizei Einim Avato Rishus. Any of these two people cannot do Bittel Rishus. Says in one second, Gili Panam Mumaru? Just because a person is disrespectful, you regard him as a Mumar, and he's disqualified from Bittel? Maybe he's not a nice person, but how does that pertain to Hilchas Bittel and Hilchas Erev? Says the Gemara, Ella, rather, we're speaking about one and the same person. Mumar Begili Panam Eni Ochel Avatel Rishus. If a person is a Mumar, he habitually is over on Shabbos. Begilui ponim. He does it with chutzpah, disrespectfully, meaning he does it publicly with farhesia. He can no longer have bittul privileges. Kiman krabiud. Apparently, his final sheet is rabiud that holds that a mumar l'chal Shabbos farhesia cannot do bittul. Whereas according to a mayor, even this type of person would be able to do bittul. Continues the Gemara with the story. Ahu Gavra the Nafak, it was this fellow that went out and just Rabbim carrying B'chum Rasa the Medusha, this bundle of fragrant of psalmim, and it's considered to be a master, a load on Shabbos. So he was carrying it in the street. Kivin the Chazi, the Rav Yudin Asiya, as soon as he saw Rav Yudin Asiya, Kasi, he quickly covered it out of shame. Omar, so Rav Yudin Asiya responded, Kigoyin Zeh, Mevatel Rishus Rav Yudin. This is an example of a fellow who has the ability to do Bittul Rishus according to Abiyuda because, although he's being Mechal Shabbos, but he's embarrassed of it. And therefore, it's considered to be only Mechal Shabbos Bitzina. And we regard him as a Yisrael in the context of Bittul Rishus. So, in summation, we have three Machloikas between Rami and Abiyuda. Firstly, regarding a Mechal Shabbos. So, all agree that a Tzduki or a Mechal Shabbos, if they're doing a Bitzina, then they have bittul privileges. But a mechal Shabbos for hesya, according to Rameya, there too, he's considered Yisrael, he can be matal rishus. According to Abiyuda, this fellow cannot be matal rishus. We have another machlokes between Rameya and Abiyuda in the following case. If a person was matal rishus, and then he went ahead and transferred something into the chatzar, he's not meant to do that, because he had already given away the rishus. So if he did a bemezit, according to both Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda, we regard as though he reattained the possession of the chatzar and terminated the bittul and makes it aser upon them all. He only did a b'shayig. According to Rabbi here as well, he is aser. We apply the same halacha of mezit to shayig. According to Rabbi Yehuda, since it's only b'shayig, we don't regard as though he regained possession of the chatzar and he doesn't make it aser upon them all. We have one last machlokes regarding a case where a person was mevatel, and the recipients were machzik in the rishus, and then the mevatel was moitzi and used their rishus. According to a mayor, it doesn't make it aser, because since they acquired possession of the property which he was mevatel, he no longer has the ability to take it back. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even in this case, he has the ability to take it back, and if he does so, he's aser upon them all. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Ezeu Yisrael Mumer. How exactly does one describe a Yisrael Mumer? So the Mumer is this fellow who habitually is over Averis, and this pertains to many halachos in Shas. He's not to be trusted for things. So what exactly has he done wrong to get this this title? Zeh Machal Shabbos is Befer Hesya. It's referring to a person who's Machal Shabbos in public. And this makes him a Mumer for Kol HaTerikul. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman asked him, come on, whose shita are you following here? That you maintain that merely being a mummer for one specific thing, for Chil Shabbos, already makes him a mummer for the entire Torah. Iker Reb Meir, are you following shitas Reb Meir? The Omar, Chashal Dover Echad, if a person is suspect of one thing, you know that he's over habitually on one Aver, Chashal Dachal Torah Kula, that makes him suspect of all other things as well. He's not to be trusted for anything else. So according to Reb Meir, Afilu Be'echad Michal Yisurin Sheba Torah Nami. The concept of mumer applies not only to a machal shabbos for hesed, even if he's a mumer for any other iser. Once he is chashed, you know that he's not trusted for any iser. That makes him not trustworthy for anything, for kol Torah kula. Why do you specifically single out shabbos? Ikra banan. Are you following shittas rabbanan? Ha amri, haven't they said chashel davar echad? A person is chashed for one thing. He's not considered to be chashed, suspect of everything else. Ad to have a mumer, unless he's a mumer for avodah zarah, which is something outstanding. And in that case, even the rabbanan agree that he's considered to be a mumer throughout. So why did you specifically single out chilul Shabbos? According to Rav Meir, any iser would accomplish the same thing. According to Rabbanon, they don't hold of that. They hold that a person who's just chashed on one thing, he's not considered to be a mumer for anything else. He's still to be trusted for anything else, except for avodah zarah, as Rashi points out. Let's see Rashi up on the top line. Ad avodah mumer avodah zarah. Da'ahu vadeh chashed chol mivi. This fellow who's over avodah zarah, indeed, that makes him chashed, suspect of everything. He's not to be trusted for anything. Da'amar, as we learned, chamur avodah zarah. Avodah Zarah is so chomer. Shekol ha-moideh bo k'koyfi b'chol ha-Torah kula. One who is moideh to Avodah Zarah, he serves Avodah Zarah, it's as though he's denying the entire Torah. It's equated one to the other. Dechsev v'chisishka v'lei sasos kol ha-mitzah se'el. Avodah Zarah m'shtay k'ra b'hiris, the pasuk describing a person who errs with Avodah Zarah, mentions kol ha-mitzah se'el, which implies that Avodah Zarah is equated with the entire Torah. So here, even the Rabbanan agree that being a mumer for Avodah Zarah makes him a mumer for everything else. But otherwise, when it comes to other Yisurim, we don't say that. So what's Rav Shana Rav Huna tells us that a person who's a mumer to Mechal Shabbos for Hesya, that makes him a mumer for the whole Torah. According to our Meir, you don't need to have Shabbos. According to Rabbanan, even Shabbos won't accomplish that. Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, we're not speaking about. Rav Huna was not speaking about giving him the title of mumer for the whole Torah. He was specifically speaking about the halacha of bittul. When Rav Huna said, "Eizo Yisrael mumer," what he meant was pertaining to bittul. What makes a person a mumer which disqualifies him from the halacha of bittul rishus on Shabbos? Amar Nachman Yitzchak liten rishus ulevatul rishus, pertaining to the question of whether he has the ability to give away his rishos, to mevatel his rishos. Okay, the sani, as we learned in the price, Yisrael mumer, hameshamer shabbat b'shuk. So this Yisrael mumer fellow who's not being shemesh shabbos privately, but he's meshamer shabbat b'shuk out in the open. He takes care not to be mechal shabbos. He's still regarded as Yisrael to the extent that he has he had the ability to be mevatel rishos, to give away his rishos through bittul. However, if he doesn't even keep Shabbos out in the open, he's Mechal Shabbos for Hesya. This fellow has totally removed himself from Shabbos. Einu Mevatel Rishus. He cannot be Mevatel Rishus. Mipnei Shamru, because the Chum said like this, Yisrael, an ordinary Yisrael, Noitel Rishus, V'Noisim Rishus. He can be the recipient of Bittul, V'Noisim Rishus, and he can give away his Rishus. ubenachri ashiyaske. But a guy can't do bittul. Over there, the only option is to rent. If he rents out his rishus to Yisrael, then that allows carrying. So we see clearly that when it comes to Yisrael mumar, it depends. If he's mishamer Shabbat b'shuk, then he's still enabled for a bittul. But otherwise, if he's mechal Shabbos for hesya, he's disqualified from bittul. And indeed, this is all Rav Huna meant to say. Continues the brisa, ketzat. So how does a Yisrael go about doing bittul? So one Yisrael approaches the other and he says, look, Rishusi knuilach, my Rishus is granted to you. Rishusi mivotelaslach, it's bottled to you. Meaning, I'm relinquishing my usage rights to you. So in either one of these cases, kana, the recipient acquires the usage rights, vein tzorach lizkois, or lizakois, and there's no need to make a kinyan. Mere words are sufficient. So getting back to Rav Huna's statement, a mechal Shabbos for hesya is considered to be a mumar. So according to this approach in the Gemara, it was a specific halacha pertaining to bittul rishus. This fellow no longer has the privilege to mevatel rishus, just as we learned in this price. But pertaining to other halachas, he's not considered to be a mumar l'chol haterekula, suspect of all other things, because he's only be mechal Shabbos, and that's only one avera. And according to Rishita's Chachamim hold that when a person is chashat for one avera, it doesn't make him a chashat for everything else, except for avodah zarah. So Rav Huna was specifically speaking about the halachos of bittul. And indeed, even this type of person, who is a mechal Shabbos for hesya, is disqualified from bittul privileges. Rav Ashi Amar has a different approach. Indeed, Rav Huna's statement pertained to chol haTorah kula. A mumar lechal Shabbos b'far hesya is considered to be suspect pertaining to everything else as well, to chol haTorah kula. He has a full din of a mumar. Hai Tanu, Rav Huna was following the opinion of the following Tana, the chamira ole Shabbos kavodah zarah, who considers Shabbos to be as stringent. He equates it to avodah zarah. And just as we know that, according to the Chachamim, even according to the Chachamim, when he's mumar avodah zarah, he's considered to be mumar for everything else. According to the following Tana, Shabbos is regarded and equated like avodah zarah. And therefore, if this person is mechal Shabbos b'far hesya, he's considered to be a mumar l'chol haTorah kula. Where do we find this sheet? Okay, the Sanya, as we're going to price. Mikem, this is the pasuk right in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, which says, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Lashem. If a person from amongst you, mikem, from you, who he makriv karban, is speaking about the Darim, the Davos, voluntary karbanis. So the price of Darsh is as follows. Mikem, from amongst you, v'loy kulcham, not all of you, can bring a carbon. Prat l'mumar. It's coming to exclude a mumar. A habitual transgressor. He can't bring a carbon. Continues the brisa. Mikem. Bachem chilakti v'loy bomois. The fact that the pasuk, mikem, which excludes a mumar, is discussing Kal Yisrael. And the Torah here tells us that we're meant to exclude a mumar. That indicates that we're not meant to exclude the umos, the goyim. They're not excluded from this miyot of mumar. So you know, to do a various, they can still bring a carbon a dove. So mikem, from amongst you, bachem chilakt. This chiluk I made amongst you, strictly amongst Klal Yisrael, like umos. But not amongst the goyim, they can bring a carbon. Any one of them can offer a carbon, neder on a dove. Continues the brisa. The pasuk says mina behema. So if a person will bring a carbon mina behema, the drasha is lahavi to include bnei adam hadoimun behema. Even people who are similar to behemas, they're rishayim, they can bring carbonis. Mikan amru. This is the source of the following statement: mekablin carbonis mipashi Yisrael. Kadei sheyachsu b'tshuva. We accept carbonis even from the poishi Yisrael. So in order that they do tshuva, we don't want to push them away and reject them. Chutz, mina mumar, uva mina sachyayin, v'machal Shabbos v'hes. These three, we don't accept karbonis from. A mumar, one who pours wine for the avodah zarah, or a person Mechal Shabbos of Hesed. Says the Mahogufa Kasha, this price seems to be inherently difficult. There's a stir mineube. Because first you say, Amris Mikem Vele Kulchem, like this Amumr. The price begins by excluding Amumr. Mikem teaches us, Vele Kulchem, not from all of you, exclude Amumr. Vahadatani, then the price proceeds and says, Mikam Kabbalah Pesha Yisrael. We do accept from Pesha Yisrael. So which one is it? Do we accept from the Mumar or not? Says Mahalai Kasha. The answer is as follows. Depends to what extent he's a Pesheya. Reisha b'mumar l'chalatir kula. The Reisha excludes a Mumar, speaking bad. A general Mumar. He's a Mumar, he's over the chalatir kula. And therefore he's excluded from Kabbalahs. Mitzi asa b'mumar l'chalatir echad. The next part of the Braisa, which indicates that we do take a carbon from a Mumar, speaking bad. If he only transgresses, he's a Mumar for one specific thing. He's not a general Mumar for the Chol HaTorah Kula. Therefore, we accept the Karbanos from him. Okay. Ema Seifa. Let's proceed to the last part of the Brayse. Chutz Mina Mumar. We want to exclude Mumar. Amanasach Yai. Now, what type of Mumar are we speaking about? Hai Mumar Heichadami. What type of Mumar are we speaking? E Mumar Chol HaTorah Hanureisha. Are we speaking of one who transgresses Chol HaTorah Kula? Therefore, he's excluded Hanureisha. This is the exact same halachas in the Reisha. We already spoke about that. Why the repetition? Ilu davar echad. If we're speaking about he's only a local mumar for one avera, and we don't accept his carbon, kasha mitziyasa. So now we have a kasha from the middle portion of the Braisa, which tells us that a mumar davar echad does have carbonous rights. So we have a stira within the Braisa. Ela lav hachakamar. Apparently, the last portion of the Braisa means to say as follows. Chutz min ha-mumar l'nasach yayin u'l'chal Shabbos v'hesin. When the Braisa mentioned mumar, the Braisa wasn't placing mumar in its own category as a standalone description. Rather, it was describing the following two cases that the Braisa listed. A mumar l'nasach yayin, somebody who habitually does nisach yayin, does avodah zarah, or a mumar l'chal Shabbos v'hesin. So it's only specifically these cases that the Braisa is referring to. Not a general mumar, and it's very consistent with the previous portions of the Braisa, which told us that unless a person is a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula, he can still bring a carbon. The Braisa here is adding to us that a mumar of avodah zarah, ochel Shabbos, are equated with mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula due to their severity. It's considered as though he's a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula. Says the Gemara Alma, apparently, Avodah Zarah v'Shabbos ke'adah dininu shma mina. We have a right from here that indeed Avodah Zarah and Shabbos are equated one to the other. And just as a mumar l'Avodah Zarah is considered like a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula, likewise, a person who is a mumar to mechal Shabbos is bifar hesed, which is a public negation of Shabbos which touches the core of our emunah. It's equated to Avodah Zarah, and he too is considered like a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula and is excluded from Karbanos. So in summary, we accept the Karbanos Nedarim and Nedavos from the Goyim, from Pashi Yisrael, provided that he's not a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula, or a mumar l'Avodah Zarah, or a mumar l'chal Shabbos v'Hesya. And now getting back to the statement of Rav Huna, who told us that if a person is mechal Shabbos v'Hesya, he's considered to be a mumar. We have two approaches. According to the first approach in the Gemara, that was a specific point regarding bittul privileges. This fellow loses his bittul rishus privileges. He cannot be mivatel rishus on Shabbos. According to the second approach of the Gemara, Rav Huna was referring to a general term of mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula. Why is that? Because a person is mechal Shabbos v'hesya, it's as though he's doing Avodah Zarah, he's a mumar Avodah Zarah, in which case, according to all shittas, even according to the Rabbanan, who disagrees with Rameir over there, in this case, he's considered to be a mumar l'chol HaTorah Kula, and he's not to be trusted for anything. Continues the mission. Anshei Chatzar, sheshachach echad mehem v'le'iriv. The mission here will go into the details of bittul, and the assumption here is that when a person's mavatal, he's mavatal the usage rights to his chatzar, not to his home. So we have people in the chatzar, anshe chatzar, sheshacha, echad mim l'iriv. So they made an error of one with the other, and one of them forgot to participate in the Erev. And he does Bittul. So he relinquishes his usage rights to the Chatzar. So what happens now? It says the Mishnah, Beisai Asur Malahachnes Malahitzi Loyulam. What about transferring in and out of his home? From the Chatzar to the house, from the house to the Chatzar. Is that Mutter or not? It says the Mishnah, it's Asur. Beisai Asur Malahachnes Malahitzi Loyulam. He can't do that because should he go transfer from his house to the chatzah, it would appear as though he's taking back usage rights of the chatzah. He's regaining possession of the chatzah. So he can't do that. Likewise, they can't do that either because it's his home. He never relinquished usage rights to his home. It remained solely his possession and designated to him. Therefore, they can't go ahead and transfer from that house, which is his private property, to the chatzah, which is a shared usage area. So his house is off limits for all. What about their homes? Can one transfer from their homes to the chatzah? Why not? V'shalahem mutarin lo yulahem. They can certainly transfer. And he as well. Because he's like their guest. Once he relinquishes rights to the chatzar, he's considered like an oirich towards them. He's like their guest. Therefore, he can go ahead and transfer from their house to the chatzar as well. It doesn't appear as though he's trying to repossess the chatzar, to take back his usage rights. He's merely their guest. And therefore, he can go ahead and transfer from their houses to the chatzar. Mutar, mutar and loy ulam. And they can do so as well. Let's take a look at Rashi. Off to the left, beginning with the word masnis. So speaking about a person who forgot to be mishtatif in the Erev, and he does bittul, says Rashi, Beisai osso lahachnes lohitz, mi beisai lochatzer, he can't transfer from the home to the chatzer, beinuhu bein shar b'nei chatzer. Neither he can, nor they. But Gemara mafarish, Gemara will explain, shabitul and rishus shayi lo b'o chatzer. We're speaking where he was mevatel to them, the rishus that he had in the chatzer, but v'lo yibitul lahen rishus beisai. He didn't give up the rishus of his house. Hilkach, havali rishus beisai, rishus didei. Therefore, his home remained his private possession, his personal space. The chatzar rishus didei. And the chatzar is their area. Therefore, they can't go ahead and transfer in and out of his house. And certainly he can't do so because it would appear as though he's trying to take back the rights of the chatzar. That's regarding his house. V'shalahem, batim shalahem, their homes. Mutarin, lohitzi man l'chatzar, he can transfer in and out of those homes. Bein hu, whether this person, bein heim, whether them. The batim shalahem l'chatzar, v'shasachzen. Their homes and the chatzar are considered to be one and the same entity. And therefore, there's no concern whatsoever. Can here's the Mishnah. Nosnu lo yushusim. What if things happen just the opposite? Instead of he being mevatel to them, they decided to mevatel their usage rights in the chatzah to him and make him the sole property owner of the entire chatzah. So what happens now regarding transferring to and from homes? Hu mutar, so he's allowed to transfer in and out of his home, v'hein aser, but they cannot do so. So regarding their homes, that's certainly off-limits. Off-limits to anybody. Because, as we explained earlier, they never gave away the rishus of their homes. They were mevatel the rishus of their chatzar to him. But the homes remained solely theirs. So you can't go ahead and transfer from their home, which is their personal property, to the chatzar, which is now his property. So it's off-limits for him. And likewise, they themselves can't transfer from their homes to the chatzar because it would appear like they're regaining rights to the chatzar. So their homes in this situation are totally off limits. The question is regarding his home. So hu mutar, he can go ahead and transfer in and out of his home because the chatzar is considered to be his. The house is his. So why can't he transfer? V'hein aser, but they cannot transfer. They want to explain because since they're a multitude, there are 2, 3, 4, 5 people here, it doesn't appear like they're his guests. And therefore, if they would transfer from his home to the chatzar, or from the chatzar to his home, it would appear as though they're trying to regain their rights in the chatzar. So therefore, they can't transfer in that even of his home. Says the Mishnah, Ho yushnayim. Let's say they did bittul to two people. Instead of doing bittul only to one person, they gave their rishus to two people. Now these two people didn't make an erev, one with the other. So we have a problem on our hand. Oysun zeh, they make each other aser. Because, fine, they became the property owners, but amongst themselves, they need an erev. So since there's no erev, they're oysun on each other to carry the chatzah. Explains the Mishnah. She'echad noysun rishus. One person can give away his rishus to others, and likewise he can be the recipient of the bittul. He can accept rishus because he's on his own, and he becomes the sole property owner. However, shnayim nice rishus, two people can give away the rishus. Very nice rishus, but they can't accept rishus, meaning they can give away the rishus to a single person to have him become the sole property owner, but they can't be the recipients of bittul. Because since they didn't make an erev amongst themselves, they become joint owners of this property, and they interfere with each other. Continues the Mishnah. May Masai Noisin Rishus. What's the deadline? What's the latest that you can give Rishus, that you can do Bittul? Rishayim Oimim Boidjoim. It needs to be done while it's still day on Erev Shabbos. Because just like erev, becomes activated, it needs to be done before Shabbos. It can be done even after nightfall. Because you're just relinquishing your rishus, that doesn't need to be done during Ben Hashemashos. Continues the Mishnah. If one gave away his rishus, meaning he did bittul, and then he was moitzi, he transferred from his house to the chatzah, which is not meant to do. Rame holds, whether this happened b'shegig or b'mezid, we consider it as though he reacquired possession of the chatzar and terminated the bittul. Therefore makes it usher upon the other members of the chatzar. And as the Gemara discussed earlier, Ramey applies a knas by shegig or to mezid. Because if we'll be lenient by shegig, perhaps we'll be lenient by mezid as well. Therefore we make it usher by shegig on account of mezid. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda, b'mezid usher. If it happened b'mezid, you're right. He's oyser. B'shegeg ain't oyser. He does not affect iser him. So the Mishnah began by describing this person who lived amongst others in a chatzar. They established an erev, and he didn't take part. So then he went ahead and did bittul to them. The Mishnah tells us, as a result of this bittul, they can transfer throughout the chatzar, but they cannot transfer in and out of his house. His house is off limits. Ask the Gemara. Beiso Yudas. So his house is aser for them. But his chatzar is mutter. How can you differentiate? Hey, chidami, what are you speaking about? Eat the bottle. Did he do bittul? Beisame aser. So why is his house aser? He gave it all away to them. Eat the bottle. If he didn't do bittul, chatzar my sharia. So why is his chatzar mutter? Says the Gemara, my skin, we're speaking about kon shibittul v'shus chatzar. He gave away the rishus of his chatzar for lebittul v'shus beisame, but did not relinquish the rishus of his house. Because Havre Rabbanon hold, Havavato rishus chatzeroi, when one is mavato, usage rights to his chatzer, which is basically bittul. It doesn't necessarily mean that he also included the rishus of his house. The dire inish, the bias of the chatzer, a person can live perfectly well in a house, even if it doesn't have a chatzer. It's not so practical, it's not so convenient. But it's doable. So we assume that although he gave up the usage rights of his chatzar, but he still maintained the usage rights of his home. So that's Pshat in the Mishnah. This person gave up Rishus Chatzar. So now it allows them to carry throughout the chatzar. But his home still remains his. It's his private property. And therefore, they cannot transfer in and out of his home. Now the Mishnah continued and said, in this case where he was mevatel to them, their homes are accessible. V'shalahen mutar loyvelhen. He could, and they could, transfer in and out of those homes. My time. Why? Why could he transfer in and out of those homes. Meaning, he cannot transfer in and out of his home because it's going to appear as though he's trying to reacquire his usage rights in the chatzar. That's off limits. It's off limits to him, and certainly off limits to them, as we just discussed, because it's his private property. But the Mishnah tells us that their homes are perfectly accessible, loyal to him. Not only lehen to them, but also to him. Why? How could he transfer in and out of those homes? Doesn't it appear as though he's trying to regain possession of the chatzar? Says, well, my time and why? Because he's considered merely like a guest by them. He's their guest. So that explains why he's transferring in and out of their homes. He's just a visitor. He's a guest. It doesn't appear as though he's trying to regain possession of the chatzar. Continues the Gemara. What about in the second case, where they did bittul to him? Nosnu loy rishuson, hu mutar vein asur. So now regarding their homes, it's totally off limits. Because, as we just mentioned, when a person does bittul, he holds on to his home. So their homes are still considered their private property, and he cannot transfer in and out of those homes. Nor can they, because it would appear as though they're trying to regain the property rights to the chatz. So their homes are off limits. Regarding his home, the Mishnah says, hu mutar, he can transfer in and out of his home. Vehein asur, but they cannot. Says the Gemara, why is this different than the previous case? Why can't they be considered like his guests, which would allow them to transfer in and out of his home? Just as we said, when he was mevatel to them, he's allowed to transfer in and out of their homes because he's like their guest. So why is this different? Why can't they be considered his guests? V'nehevi inhu l'gabei ki'orchem. Let us consider them as his guests. Says one of the difference. Chad l'gabei chamisha v'orch. Yeah. One person to five is considered a guest. They're his hosts. Chamisha l'gabei chad lo v'orchem. But five people are not considered to be one person's guests. And they appear like they're trying to regain possession. When they go ahead and they transfer in and out of his home, it doesn't appear like they're his guests. It's a multitude of people. They're just here to use the chatzar, and they're reacquiring their possession rights to the chatzar. So that explains the discrepancy between the first case of the Mishnah and the next case. Continues the Gemara. It would appear, the Gemara assumed at this point that the Mishnah here is describing one continuous story. Initially, he was mevatel to them, and then they turned around and they were mevatel to him. Shmamina, apparently, we conclude from here, mevatel, mechayzim, mevatel. You can do a double bittel. You can do a bittel one way, and then do the bittel back. This will be a kasha to Shmuel, who holds this can't be done. He says, well, no, we're not speaking about one and the same case. We're talking about two different scenarios. Hachikama. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Nosnu rishusan mikara. If initially they gave him their rishus, meaning it's a different story altogether. The Mishnah began by describing him being mevatel to them. Then the Mishnah went on to the next case, another story. If they decided to give their rishus to him, hu mutar ve nasurin, he's allowed to transfer in and out of his home, and they can't, as we just explained in the Gemara. So it's unrelated to the halacha of mevatel, mechayzim mevatel. We're not speaking about a bittel one way, and then another bittul on the other way. We're speaking of two different situations, unrelated stories. The Mishnah tells us, Hayushnayim, if the bittul was done to two people, they were the recipients of the bittul, Hayushun Zelze, make each other usher, because there's no heir amongst them. So they're now the joint property owners, but there's no heir to allow them to carry in this chatzar. So pshita, isn't that obvious? We already know that two people living in a chatzar need an heir. Leitzrich, apparently, was speaking about a case, the Hadar Chad Minayu, Ubotele Lechavri, that after the other members of the Chatzar did bittel to these two fellows, so we have Reuven and Shimon, afterwards Reuven transferred everything to Shimon. He took whatever he got from the other people and he gave it over to Shimon. He did bittel to Shimon. So now Shimon is the sole property owner. Maudet Tema, perhaps I would think, Lishteri. He's allowed to carry in the chatzah because there's nobody interfering. Kamash Malon. The Mishnah tells us, no. It's not going to help. He cannot use the chatzah. Why? The Kivan de Be'idna the bottle, because since at that point in time when the other Bnei Chaser who would be Mevatel their Rishus to Reuven and Shimon, Lo Yehav Elisha Yusuf by Chaser, Reuven had no heter Shimush in his Chaser. He couldn't practically use the Chaser. Let's remember, he had Shimon at his side, and they had no Erev between them. So even if he turns around and transfers everything that he got from the other members over to Shimon, making him his sole property owner, that won't work. Because, practically speaking, he never really had usage rights to the Chatzar. He doesn't have what to give over. Why? That's why it doesn't work. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah here. When the other members are Mevatel, there was just Reuven and Shimon, who had no heir amongst themselves. So even if Reuven turns around and gives everything over to Shimon, it won't work. Continues the Gemara. Shecha Neisen Rishus. The Mishnah concludes, because one person can give away his Rishus and receive Rishus. Two people can give away, but they can't receive if there's no Erev amongst them. That's the Mahasu Lamli. Why do we need this additional clause in the Mishnah? We already know this from the halachas in the beginning of the Mishnah. E Neisen Tanina. Whether it's the halacha of the Yochad giving away the Rishus, we already learned that in the first case of the Mishnah. He gave his Rishus to the others. E Neitel. Whether it's the halacha that he can receive Rishus, Tanina. That also we learned in the second case of the Mishnah that the others gave him their Rishus. So why this repetition? Sefer Tzrichalei, it's the next portion of the Mishnah, which is the Chiddush here. Shnayim Neisen Rishus, two people can give away their Rishus. Hanami Pshita. This is also obvious. Why would I think otherwise? Well, the time perhaps I would think that we shouldn't allow two people to give away Rishus. Ligzer, it should be room for Gzer. That if we allow them to give away, Dilma Asilev Tulilahu. Perhaps others will give their Rishus to them. Two people will be the recipients of Bittel, which is a problem because they don't have no Erev. So perhaps we shouldn't allow two people to give away either. Kamashmalan, the Chiddush is, we don't have this concern. And we allow two people to give away the Rishus. Veinoitim Rishus. So they can give, but they can't receive because there's no Erev amongst them. Lomali. Why this repetition? The Mishnah already told us that if there were two people in the Chatzar who have no Erev between themselves, they cannot be the recipients of Bittel. So why this repetition? So the Mordechai Tzricha apparently was speaking about Afagav de Amrile, even in the case where the Bnei HaChatzar told them specifically. So we have the Bnei HaChatzar transferring their Rishos to Reuven and Shimon, and they approached Reuven and they told him, look, our portion that we're giving you here is not meant to stay by you. Kni, acquire it, Almanas Lahaknis, on condition that you pass it on to Shimon. So perhaps this system would work. In contrast to the earlier case where we said he can't transfer anything because he never really acquired anything. He was never allowed to use the chatzah because he had interference from Shimon, so he never acquired anything to pass on. Perhaps this case is different because they specifically told him, look, you're not defining a destination, you're just taking it to transfer it over to Shimon. So perhaps the fact that Reuven himself can't make use of this chatzah at this point is irrelevant. It's merely a transfer point to Shimon. Perhaps this situation would work. Now they transfer it to Shimon. Shimon now acquires sole ownership of the chatzah and can transfer throughout the chatzar. And the Chiddush is, no, even in this case it won't work because Reuven really didn't get anything to transfer to Shimon because what he got is not useful. He can't use it. And therefore, we don't consider as though he got anything and he cannot transfer it to Shimon as well. So in summary, regarding the halacha of Bittel Rishus, where one relinquished the Rishus of his chatzar but not the Rishus of his home, the Mishnah provided us with three examples. When a Yachad was Mevatel to a Rabban who had an Erev, his house is totally off limits. They can't transfer in and out because it's his private property. Likewise, he can't do so because it would appear like he's regaining possession of his chatzah. He's allowed to transfer in and out of their homes because he's merely their guest. When a rabbin, a mevatel to a yachid, he's allowed to transfer in and out of his home, but they can't because they don't appear like his guests and they appear like they're trying to regain possession of the chatzah. Their homes are completely off limits. They can't transfer in and out because it would appear like they're regaining possession of the chatzah. He can't do so because it's their private property. When others are mevatel to two people, it won't work. Even if they conditioned with Reuven that you're going to go transfer everything over to Shimon, it won't work because at the point when he acquired it, it wasn't useful to him. And he had nothing that he acquired in order to transfer further. Okay, let's review today's daf. We began with three machlekes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. Number one, in the case of Mechal Shabbos or Farhesi, Ramei says he could be Mevatel. Yehuda says he can't. When a person was Mevatel and then he was Moitzi, he took something out into the Chatzar. If he does it B'Shegig, Ramei says he's Oiser. Yehuda says he doesn't. In the case where he's Mevatel and the recipient was Machzik, And then the Mevatel decided to use the area. According to Rav Meir, he doesn't do any harm. According to Rav Yehuda, even in this case, he is Oisa. We learned that we are Mekabel Kabernus and Dava from Goyim, from Yisrael, provided that he's not a Mumel Chalatar Kula, Abidazor or Mechal Shabbos of Perhesia, and we concluded with an in-depth discussion of the halachos of Bittur Rishus.